This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we'll be hearing from Janet Foy, who's going to talk about her new book, Dressage Q&A. And then we're going to have a new segment in which the USDF will spotlight some of its programs. And we begin with a couple of notices about upcoming programs. The USDF's 2016 education calendar is filling up with clinics and seminars being offered through the USDF's local GMOs and other organizations. The following USDF university accredited programs are being offered over the next month. L Education programs are being held in Santan, Arizona and Cove Springs, Florida. And the Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference with Johan Hinneman takes place on January the 18th and 19th in Loxahatchee, Florida. In February, we have two continuing education programs in dressage judging, a freestyle program in Dallas, Texas, and Upgrade Your Judging Eye in Wilton, California. There is also an instructor-trainer program workshop on lunging being offered in Hillsboro, Oregon. For complete information on these and other education programs, you can find a link to the education calendar link in this week's show notes. Another event to attend this spring is the Dressage Foundation's 2006 Florida Dream Tour on Monday, March the 14th. This tour visits some of Wellington's top facilities and trainers, giving you a taste of the Dressage Foundation's International Dream Trip, where young riders have traveled to visit European dressage trainers. The $200 registration fee includes visits to at least three training stables, a box lunch and transportation between facilities, and the registration for this opens on January 15th. The proceeds benefit the Dressage Foundation and the Young Rider International Dream Program. And now, the FEI four-star judge, FEI technical delegate, USEF senior judge, L faculty member, clinician and author, Janet Foy, joins us to talk about her new book, Dressage Q&A, with Janet Foy, Hundreds of Your Questions Answered. Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, this time we're going to talk about something that I think you're pretty proud of coming in. Probably was your idea, was it? To have people ask questions. And there's so often people are probably a bit embarrassed to ask obvious questions. But with this book, they seem to have asked questions from different levels, from all levels.
Yeah, it was very interesting when we sent out the call for people to send in questions or comment on something that was very confusing to them, even comment on, you know, their aha moment, what was the hardest thing for them to grasp. And I really didn't have an idea about how to organize the book until I got all the questions in. And then I thought, you know, this is really, really interesting because they all basically fit into the training scale at some level or another. And, you know, so of course it always goes back to the basics, I think. And it was really interesting that I thought a lot of confusion stemmed in the term contact. And also people were having trouble with the term straightness. So I think some of those things are because, you know, the word in German has such an amazing equestrian language that one word really says it all. And I have a really good German friend who was coming to the U.S. to judge for the first time, and he said, well, I really want to do a good job judging in English, and so I want to give you a German word, and then I want you to give me the English word so I can have really good comments. Well, he would give me a German word and I would give him 3 to 4 sentences. And after about 10 minutes of this, he said, oh my gosh, it's really difficult to judge in English. So I think some of the problem we do have as teachers and trainers is trying to explain a concept. And maybe we try to explain it too briefly. And people are just not understanding what that really means.
And as you point out, there is that direct translation as well from German. and it is often misunderstood. So where did you begin with this project then? Presumably it was your idea, was it, Janet?
Well, it wasn't. The publishers contacted me and they said, okay, your first book's been out for a year, now it's time to write a second book. And I said, well, I really don't want to write a second book because I put my heart and my soul into the first book, and that was really my training system and my past and the history of my horses. And, I don't want to just write another redundant book on dressage. It doesn't excite me at all. So they said, well, how about if we suggest some topics? And I thought, well, okay. And so they did, and they suggested several, and I would say, nope, not interested, nope, not interested. And then when they said, well, why don't we get questions from people? And I thought, that could be interesting, and that could be fascinating, and it would give me a good place to start and research where people really had the biggest need and the most questions. So I won't say it was my idea. I have to say Rebecca and Martha prodded things along, and they helped a lot by putting the notice on the Trafalgar website about getting the questions in, and I put it on my Facebook page, and it was great. We got tons and tons of questions in, and then I started from there. Then it was all a matter of organizing them.
Well, presumably, as well as those direct translations, you had questions from all levels. You probably had some very basic questions, didn't you? What were, for the most part, the kind of areas of interest from the questions that you got?
Well, I think a couple of things. If we start, let's say, at the bottom of the training scale, which is rhythm, there's, and maybe it's because in English, because of our judge training system and our L program and all the biomechanics that we teach in the L program and all of the information that Hillary Clayton has benefited. I mean, she's done amazing things to contribute to the knowledge of our sport. I would say that U.S. judges and people training and going through the USDF programs, whether it's the L program or instructor certification, are probably a lot more knowledgeable than their European counterparts on biomechanics and about the different language. And I think you'll find in Europe that they'll say incorrect rhythm when they really mean the tempo is changing. And we're very picky here about saying tempo, which is the repetition of the rhythm. If we comment on the rhythm, it means there's a flaw, there's a fault. And we also use unlevel, which means a step that's not as long over the ground, and is height off the ground, or uneven, which is the length of the stride. So we have different words to explain different mechanics of what's really happening, which I think gives the rider more information, where a lot of judges just say irregular, and they don't really pinpoint what's happening. So I think that was one thing that was very interesting, that the sophistication, I guess, of knowledge. And the interesting thing, it wasn't just through the lower level people. There was a little bit of a lack of sophistication amongst some of the FEI riders and trainers as well. So rhythm was the problem. The contact, there's still a big misconception in this country that there should be no weight on the inside rein and the horse should be heavy on the outside rein, rather than what contact means is the horse stretches equally into both reins and each rein has a separate job, but one rein is not more important than the other. And you see people throwing the inside rein away every stride and hanging on like heck to the outside rein, and then they wonder why the horse won't go forward and why the neck is short. So there are a lot of questions on contact, and I think if you had a question on contact, you could read the other 50 or 60 questions, and I think it really helped clarify what that really meant. And maybe also to some instructors that helped them say things in a little better way that made a little bit more sense to their riders.
And from the upper levels, what sort of questions did you get for the most part?
Well, I think the idea of collection, how do you get it? And most of the collection questions relate back down to straightness, which to me is the other part that's not very well understood. Hillary's been doing a huge study on straightness. I had a great talk with her at the USDF convention. And basically, when the horse is straight, we would say he would be ambidextrous. In other words, both hind legs would be equally strong, and he would be able to elevate both shoulders. So, you know, the German word means making sure the horse goes along the line of travel. And I don't think enough people understand how the horse has to have the haunches on the line of travel with the shoulders slightly displaced in order to be straight. They think of straightness as stiffness. And so the horse go, 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 because they've heard in dressage you should go forward. And so the horse runs down onto the shoulders, consequently also pulling in the contact. And the concept of lightness doesn't mean no weight in the reins. We're talking about the mobility of the shoulders and the carrying power of the hind legs. So, you know, there's a few of these dressage things. And I also did a glossary at the beginning, because I think some of this dressage patter is just too technical and too confusing. So my apologies to the USDF judges glossary, but I just tried to keep things simple. I think sometimes people, trainers, clinicians try to make dressage too complicated, and it just needs to be a little bit more simple, I think, for everyone to understand the concepts.
Simpler in the language, which I'm sure in the book you've had a chance to break that down.
Yeah, I've tried really hard to, you know, say what really does that inside leg to outside rein mean in a simple way? What really is the function of a half halt? It's not just the outside rein. I've tried to make it really clear, you know, because at the end of the day, whether you're doing training level or Grand Prix, you only have three aids. You have your legs, your seat, your hands. And obviously in Grand Prix, you have a lot more movements that those three aids have to be in control of. So the level of sophistication of your aids has to increase. But I think I tried very hard to tell people at training level and first level, this is why keeping your horse straight on a diagonal is important. If you can't do that, if you can't do a straight canter-trot transition, you're going to have problems with your flying changes later. So I tried to relate the more simple exercises to how it's a foundation really for the more difficult exercises later on. And, you know, certainly practice makes perfect if the practice is perfect. So it's much easier to put correct things in your system early on than having to go back and erase things on the way up the levels. So, yeah, I really tried hard to have a few aha moments for people. You know, like, oh, that's why I should be accurate. Oh, I shouldn't lose dumb points for bad circles. So anyway, I've had really good reviews. There was a great review in the December issue of The Connections. And I've had good sales. I think it's also moved up to the top of the Amazon list. And the book's available at Trafalgar Press or at Amazon. And it's a paperback. There's no pictures. There's quite a few drawings. And there's a really fun chapter in there, too, that I could probably write a whole book on this, but it's called Stories from the Road. So I always have people, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I travel all around the world doing horses. Oh, what a wonderful job. And, you know, this is as you're sitting on an airplane for 17 hours. Mm-hmm. And I just crossed 2 million miles on my way to Korea this year. And so I don't know how many hours that is or how many years that is. I've been on an airplane. But I tried to share with the readers some of the funnier things that have happened in our travels, and I think all judges have some great stories about the hotels or the airports or the planes or the people who, whoops, I forgot to pick you up.
For sure, and of course that is available on Amazon, as you said. Dressage Q&A with Janet Foy. Hundreds of your questions answered. How to ride, train, and compete, and love it. And that is also available in Kindle as well as paperback. Janet, thank you very much for coming on the program and telling us about it.
You're welcome very much, and I hope your readers enjoy it, and also hope they have enjoyed my first book, and that's been helpful to their training as well.
And now, in our next segment, we begin a series in which we spotlight programs offered through the U.S. Dressage Federation. This week, USDF Senior Education Coordinator Sharon van der Zeel gives an overview of the USDF L Education Program.
Hello, I am the liaison for the L Education Program. I would like to spend a few minutes telling you about the program and why you should plan to attend or organize one. Many USDF members are aware that graduating with distinction from the L Education Program, commonly called the L Program, is the first step to becoming a USEF licensed judge. However, many are not aware that Part 1 of the program is also an extensive education program for trainers, instructors, and riders. Part 1 consists of 3 weekend sessions, normally 4 to 6 weeks apart. The course material is geared to USEF training through second level. Session A focuses on USEF rules that apply to judges and riders in the dressage ring, as well as how the judge arrives at a score using methodology. Biomechanics of the horse are also covered, emphasizing the rhythm of the gaits and how it applies to the pyramid of training. Session B focuses on evaluating the proper execution of and common problems in gaits, paces, movements, and figures for each level training through second. Both video examples and live courses will be used. Session C addresses the collective marks and how the judge arrives at the scores and comments by evaluating and discussing full tests. In addition, there is a brief introduction to USDF freestyle judging. After every L program, we receive comments from participants stating that the program improved the way they rode, trained, or taught, and that all competitors and trainers should attend Part 1 for the education it provides. USDF members can attend the L program as either a participant or auditor. Participants purchase access to the course material through the L program website, which can be renewed yearly for a nominal fee. The L website includes all the course material needed to complete the L program, along with online quizzes, slideshows, and links to additional information important to judges, trainers, and competitors. Participants are involved in the discussion and judging exercises. Auditors who pay a lesser fee do not participate in discussions, but can ask questions if time allows. Auditors will receive an outline of course material. The L program is highly respected around the world as an education program geared towards everyone who wants to learn more about how to evaluate correct training. Group member organizations and other organizations who want to improve the quality of riding and training in their area should consider hosting this valuable program. A list of programs can be found on the education calendar at usdf.org. Any questions about attending or hosting the program can be directed to lprogram@usdf.org. Thank you.
And finally, a reminder on deadlines for registrations. The auditor registration is still being accepted for the ADEQUAN USDF FEI Level Trainers Conferences. Registration will be available on-site starting Monday morning, January the 18th, in Loxahatchee, Florida, for the Johann Hinnemann Clinic. And the deadline for early online registration to attend the March 14th, 15th West Coast Conference with Stephen Clark is February the 14th. Our membership department would like to remind you that we're now into the 2016 competition year, so please make sure to renew your membership before heading out to a competition. Don't forget, as always, to check out all the latest USDF Online Learning Center and its resources on eTrack, and the USDF store for books and educational items geared to the dressage rider. A link to the complete list of USDF educational programs is available in the show notes accompanying this episode. As always, you can listen to this podcast not only online from the website, but also by downloading the podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show on the go. And that's it for this week. Don't forget to check out all our social media links at Facebook and Twitter, and on the website, of course, for regular news and updates at usdf.org. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. And remember that the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.